Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
We are the traveling people like the pigs or beak or folk. The men in Whitehall thinks we're parasites, but tinker is the word with our gum shellac, your little law. Move us on, you boy.
Hi, David, where's
Diddy? I seen a lot of Bell Mullet. I seen a lot of Eckel. I seen Castle Bear, Westport, you know, Lewisburg.
I leave a month after Christmas to go west with that time. Wicklow, Dublin, back along by Mullingar, down into Dundalk, and back up around across the into Ballinasloe again.
So give 250 on Rallygan.
Kerry, Limerick, Tipperary, Kilkenny, Waterford, Cork.
We have mended pots and kettles and buckets for Lord Cornwall, but before we'd leave his house, me lads, we would mind his woman and all. With our home, she'll like a little wallop without me hero.
And I love beaches, I love mountains, I love all kinds of things like that. I love a quiet life. I hate cities, towns around me. I don't want to live in a village even. I seen a happy childhood life, and I'll tell you, I goes into that church and I'm night and day praying for my fair mother, and I'm thanking them, even they're dead, and I'm still thanking them this fair day for giving me the life they give me.
We have learned the Emperor Nero how to play the pipes way back in the days of Rome.
Well, you have a little firelight and a little stove light in your caravan. All that heat goes around the caravan, and you're cozy and you're warm inside. My mother, the Lord of Mercy, would get up in the morning there and she'd put on the tea and the food for us and the porridge, and she was very, very good. And we'd go to school for a few days and we'd be further and move out to a different place then, and we'd go out a few days there, and he'd move out to a different place again, and we'd go out a few days there, you know. It was lovely, we had my children on the side of the road in the caravan. They were never sick or sore, they were healthy. And if 18 of all living, 10 living or 18. And we managed, we had plenty of room, we were warm, we were cosy. The girls in one bed, myself, my husband in the other bed. And even if we had boys, we put the boys separate to the girls.
Here. Get this out, your father. Here, love you.
Here, here. I'd put on the big pot, two big pots, and that'd be it. The cabbage would bake the one, and the potatoes the other one. And everyone got a bit outside, inside, whole bit here, I got a bit around me. If I never owned the kids, whole bit here, I'd get a bit. And we still had enough. Full and plenty. We came out here in June, and our kids went to school out here until they got holidays. And now we're trying to stay out here until the end of September, but our kids are school there for the other few weeks that we're here.
Where do you get water and electricity?
We get our water down here where the children learn, when the people learn the Irish down here and the step dancing. That's where we get our water, and it's lovely down there. At the church where we go to mass every Sunday, priest loves us down there. And we go up, we do our prayers.
Now we can't understand one word of the priest loving what he's talking about, but we say our own prayers in church. A lot of people in Connemara are just like travellers.
Like ourselves.
Do you know, they're kind people. You know what I mean? There's a lot of very, very
they're
kind
nice
people.
To see. You yeah. know. They meet you.
We find them very, very nice, like.
I find the people in Connemara nicer than the ones in Galway. I really do. I think they're beautiful people.
I think they're like people that went through a lot of self-loving, because they have compassion for travelling people, a lot of them have. So they must have gone through a lot of self, the creatures, you know what I mean? Because they do think of the travellers. And they do like the travellers. A lot of them do like the travellers. And we know it because we can see it in their eyes when they see us.
Mm-hmm. We were travelling people all our life, and now we're forced to kind of halt in sites and houses. And we don't want that, but we've nothing else to do, you know? But if I pull away, I give up the house tomorrow, I've no place to go to. If I pull in, out the country, I won't be left to stay anywhere, you know?
Who's going up there? It's a way of life. Horses, dogs, the whole lot. Can't keep anything now. Freedom. Fresh air, open your door, you're not confined to one space.
And the council is going on and they're blocking up every camp that they're pulling that the travelling people lives living. Travelling people have no other choice than they pulling the side of the road where their kids could be killed. You know. They're blocking up all those safe camps. I mean, if those safe camps was left open for the travelling community, loving, they wouldn't be left in the, they wouldn't be in the side of the road. They'd be in those quiet camps with their kids.
Mommy, she's good to see us, Carla. Come on, Carla, come on, Carla, come on. They want Carla to come in sounds, they're good girls.
I reared 9 sons, loving, and I reared 2 little girls. One of my sons took his own life. That never came in the breed of me for that, anything like that to happen. My son took his own life, and it was the hardest thing that ever happened to me, for my son to take his own life. I never smoked or drank in my life, and now I'm smoking since my son died. I never stopped smoking since my son died. I was suffering with depression because I blamed the house for my son's death. I blamed that city, and I blamed the town for my son's death. If I hadn't been in that town, I don't think my son would ever take his own life. So I blamed the city for having my son where he is. Close that door, Connie. Close that door, Connie, please. So I'm blaming the city for to have my son where he is, you know. And I'm afraid of my life of my other son's loving.
What age was your son?
And this is why I'm fighting so hard to get a place out in the country. I want a quiet life. And it's the only place I can get it is to go out in the country. That's the only place I can get a quiet life is to go out in the country. I'm blaming the city and the towns for my son's death. Because there's not any drink and drugs in cities. And if the quicker people get out of the cities, the better for themselves and better for their kids.
What age was he?
My son was 26 years of age, loving, and he was a very smart, clever boy. Now, I'm telling you the truth. Now, I know a lot of travelling community boys, a lot of the travelling community, loving. Their sons can go wrong. But my son was just one of those perfect lads that never drank, warden and drugs or anything like that. He was a good lad. When his death certs, you know, when his death birth came back, love, you know, when he die, when they take a death certs, whatever. I can't pronounce the word right, but it was proved that he had no drugs. He had no drugs whatsoever taken. I knew before I heard it, because I knew him. My son was totally against drugs. He was totally against. He wouldn't mix up with anyone that had drugs taken. You know, and I'm blaming the town and I'm blaming the city for my son's death. If I had my son out here in the country at all the time, he'd have never done it.
A lot of young men and women in the traveller community are affected by
it. Since the traveller settled down, that only all happened since the traveller settled down. That never came in the travellers community.
Do you think there's a lot of depression among
there's
young
There's an awful lot of depression going on with the travelling people now, loving. That's because they're held down in houses that they don't want to be held in. And then they don't care what happened to them in life. They go in a way, then they don't care what happened.
No.
I mean, I was in my house on Christmas Day. I was peeling a few potatoes, loving. At Christmas Eve, I was peeling a few potatoes for having ready for Christmas morning. I got it right here in my mind to go to the back of my own house and take my own life. Because I was under that much pressure. I filled out a Christmas dinner and I was crying filling it out. Because you know why, loving? I wasn't happy where I was. I could have spent my Christmas morning back here in Connemara and I know I've spent a better Christmas morning. Here's my son here, loving. This is my eldest son, Willie, here now.
Willie, hello. Pleased to meet you.
Since we went into them houses down Galway, I lost a brother, 26 years of age. We're never used to them. We were in caravans. She and Eddie, we're all going happy. So we went to the houses, places we weren't used to. It's like, you might as well go into Castlereagh, do time in Castlereagh, because you don't time it there for nothing. Didn't do it in Castlereagh. I was bred, born and reared in a caravan. And this is my life. I wouldn't give a caravan for every house I go. I was in a house there for 4 years. I was more times in the mental institution than I was at home. I went through mental depression inside it. From them houses.
When we first moved into the house, yeah, I buried 2 children as well. Carried them so far on, I buried them with depression. And I tried to commit suicide a couple of times. From stress, out of the house.
Close the door, will you?
And my husband tried to commit suicide.
Close the door,
and if there were a million mentioned now in second call, I wouldn't take it. All I want is my freedom. I just want to be left in a caravan, just to be left alone in a nice little quiet place. I was never sick or sore in my life till I moved into the house. And then I feel like I'm the walls were caving in on top of me. I was claustrophobic. Thought I was smothering at all times. We weren't getting on, we were arrogant, we were separating a lot. And things weren't working out for us inside that.
You see, well, the council go out there, they spend money on travelling people, right? They won't give them what they want. There's a way of saying putting travellers into there into a terrace of houses. They might stay a year or two, they're gone now. They should give them, because I think they should give them what they want. They should give them a little, if they want a smart little bungalow, we'll just put a bit of a yard where they can bring a pony into it or build a shed inside for ponies or have a different own use, their own benefit. They might be more happier, do you know?
If my son had to be killed in a car accident, there's a reason for that. He was killed in a car accident. If my son had to die from an illness, I say he died from an illness. He wouldn't have died only for that. But taking his own life, love him, and the best of health. The best of health.
May the Lord God may be with you and the ground where you do lie. Wouldn't I sit down and I cry for my own darling fine by.
When the traveller wake up in a house in the morning, it's not the same thing as waking up in the open air in the caravan or a kid tent, you know. You're better off travelling, meeting different people, everywhere. What can you do? Put two horses up in the horse box and go off around the country with them? You mightn't have the right horse to suit people. Whereas if you're travelling, you'd have 10 or 12 horses with you at all times. And you're bound to meet a man for some of them, you know. You'd swap with a man, sell it and buy off it. But that's all finished.
150 better, 150 or 150, 150 better, 150 or 150 or 150 or 150 on the market for sale of 150. How 150 or 150 better, 150 or 150 or 150. How 150,
160.
One single, one car, one single.
We're going to auction him off. Hey, 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 will be the cry when the man with the money have passed you by up to Swiss Jersey. Hey, up to Swiss Jersey. Move on for a minute. Turn it over, lads. Turn it over, ready enough to fight for 50. Turn it up, lads. Ah, well, come here and tell her. My grandfather always told me, he said, the place where you lost your money is the place to find it. Off she goes again, on the same race and the same old chase.
I got money.
I love going to fairs. It's happening daily in the houses. So it's just like people is used to a big job. That's their life. Our life is horses.
Okay, Jimmy, explain to me what's going on here in this part of the fairgrounds.
This side of the ground is happening all trotters. All trotting horses. See the cages? To keep them away from the lorries and the rest of the people doing. The fellas wouldn't be hurt off it, you know? That's why the high railings along there. It's not the old Tottenham, as you can see there. This is the show, more or less, here for them. Show them going, you know, they can sell them. People see a cob going right, he'll buy them, you know?
What would you look for if you were looking to buy a cob? What would you be looking at for today?
Colour cob. So, trotter, more or less. I like seeing going, all breaking and missing, you know? They fear out, like, you know? See where the pony's gone. No breaking or missing or hitting or whipping him. Spammer just talked to a cop and he's gone about his business.
Were you travelling much in the summer yourself?
Oh, I don't know, we'll be all right, yeah. Todd Old Fields. I was in Banner, Spencer Hill, Carmi. There's nothing like the fair, you know what I mean?
I told you my bank manager wouldn't give me the money yet.
My bank manager lied, I told you, didn't I? Because I didn't bring it in to him on Monday.
Hello!
I mean, you're wanting something like this. No way. You know what I mean? be like a GAA match, you know, for the hurling and the football. This would be their equivalent here. My equivalent, to be quite honest, you know.
I'll hide him.
Years ago, you can stay on the side of the road and tie horses anywhere along the road. There was no hassle, no horse to get in trouble. It's just this new thing is just doing it mostly travellers. Just to get rid of the horses from travellers. They're trying to do away with travellers' lives. They'll never do away with my life. I'm a traveller and I'll die as a traveller. I'm proud to be a traveller too, you know.
£50
Two coins goes up in the air. There's two heads, there's two hearts. The person will toss the coins off his own heads. And it could be 100, 200, 500 euro bet on the ground. So, winner wins all, basically.
Come on.
There's one guy there that he'd be giving out the money, collecting the money. So he said it's 500 down or whatever, 1,000 down. So that's heads, then he picks up that again. So he puts down so much again.
Oh, you have to win 10 grand out here.
Will you carry me to Galway next year?
I've been coming to this fair for 60 years. All my uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters, all their lives they came here. It was the proper travellers' horse fair, you know, of Ireland. One time this would be all horse-drawn caravans, you know. All the old people's all gone now. New people taking over. One time you'd be trotting horses up and down the fair, you can't do it now. No room, the girls won't live with it. So it is a dying tradition, like.
I was a very happy grown-up child. There was 12 of us in the family, and we always kept a little fire outside, loving. We had a turf fire outside. Maybe a few sticks if we hadn't got turf. And when it come night, we'd all sit around the fire with a little bit of hay on the nearest that our Lord was born on top of. And we'd all sit at the fire of a damp evening with a bit of sap of hay on the nearest. And my father, he'd bring up the yardens when he was a child, and he'd sing songs, and then we'd all start singing songs. I would have the kettle of tea at the fire. And every Saturday night, they'd have a little radio, because that's all you would have is a radio. You wouldn't have no televisions. And every Saturday night, my father's loved Saturday night coming, because he'd be listening to the Kelly House. You know? And he'd have that, and him and my mother would be outside on the ground, and they'd be waltzing for this, you know? Not saying they were great dancers, loving, because they weren't trained into anything, but they'd go around together anyway. And we'd be all at the fire laughing at them, you know? And we'd be trying to learn from them. We might be hungry now, because you wouldn't have a lot of food at the time. When I was growing up now, the kids now, thank God, have plenty today, loving. They have plenty of food today. But when I was growing up, you wouldn't have that much food, you know? And any bit of food you have, you'd be grateful to get it, and you'd be grateful to your father and mother as well. And you'd go to bed some nights, maybe hungry, but you wouldn't complain to your father and mother about it.
You slept in tents?
We slept in tents. And then when we get up in the morning, we'd be flooded and the neighbours with water. The hay would be drenched. We'd have no mattresses now. That was out of question. We might have just one blanket for over a crowd of kids inside a tent.
You were telling me about...
My brother Connie, loving. My mother was pregnant with my brother Connie. My father got no travelling people at that time had anything much, only a tent. So my father had an old tent. My mother took into labour. So we just pulled into the camp. My mother was always telling me now, because my brother Connie's older than me. But when we pulled into the tent, loving, my mother took into labour. And sometimes women, it have slow labour for a few days before they get into the right labour. So my mother still thought of slow labour she was having. But when it came to time, loving, she felt this awful pressure coming. So she said to my father, Mikey, you better get up and get me a doctor. So my father got up with his old tent, loving. I have a bad winter's night and 3 feet of snow outside in the ground. And he went for a doctor. Now, underneath my mother, there was not any sap of hay. Right? So my father went, he tackled up a pony care because we had no motor cars. And he went looking for a doctor in this village, but didn't know where the doctor was. But he got a nurse. And the nurse got on her bike. It was a bike she had, loving. She had no motor car either, only a bike. So she got on the bike, and she said to my father, I'll follow you. So when my father and the nurse came, loving, my father had to push back the snow with his hands, let the nurse go through the tent. But when she went in through the tent, there was my brother and my mother's arms. Now, Jesus was born in a sap of hay, loving. Well, my brother was also born in Sappahay too. A big foxy child. On top of my mother's arms, loving. And that son is living today. Thanks be to God, I hope he will live for 100 years of age. Because he's my brother.
Just make jumping things and we jump over them. But sometimes you might go down a hole or something. When you're running, you don't know, you must go down. But I love jumping. Make competitions of making jumping and running and leaping. Like.
And would that be just for the boys or would the girls do it too?
The girls play their own things around there and we play our things here.
So tell me more about this horse. He's just used for the sulky. Have you ever been up in a sulky yourself?
Yeah, with Conor's done. With my uncles and my dad. With my dad and my granddad. He used to bring me off with him, driving.
Now, if you say this pony is too big for you, what size one would you be allowed up on?
I'd be allowed up on that height.
That, about two-thirds of that height. And have you got one of your own? That height?
Yeah, I had one, but I shout him. His name was Bubbles. He was a small midget.
A midget?
Yeah,
a
midget.
And who did you sell him to?
No, my uncle sold him to me, and I sold him to a buffer.
To who?
Like the people going on them cars.
Like us? Like me? People like me?
Yeah.
What do you call them?
Buffers.
Well, then that's what they are.
We sold it. I sold the pony to him. He was living back here, back the road, and I sold the pony to him.
It's beautiful, man. I mean, there's nothing else to it. Like, I mean, you couldn't get nicer. I mean, Jesus, he comes out here picking pennywinkles. He goes back up and we boils them and eats them. Get the fish. The lads comes down fishing. And all they get fish and they bring it up straight away and cook it. I mean, what else could anyone ask for? Look at a lovely beach like this. Wouldn't it make anyone happy?
You're going to turn your back on this and go into Galway?
Oh, Jesus, it's breaking my heart. It's terrible to lose a place that you're happy with, that you're happy in.
The dog, I love him much.
Mikey has the dog in the water.
The water, and he loves it. And he's so happy with his dog. He's talking to her with us.
They're happy with his dog.
They're both in. They're happy, Mikey's.
I wouldn't actually go any other where now, Ian. Probably set here.
Yeah. All right, now Fluffy, you got a lovely one.
Look at all the fish, look. I saw a small fish that will hide there a minute ago. In the water there. Hey, what? Watch them here, look. Watch them, hey. Nana, come in, look at all the fish! They're too fast to catch them.
Well, I'll see if I can catch one of these.
Oh, Daddy, they're hard.
No, stay there.
Let them come over and I'll put my hand down and catch one. Oh, Daddy, they took away 100. They just... And when they hear the noise of the water, they just bang, gone.
A crab.
Where's the crab? Show me the crab.
I stepped on top of him.
Show me him.
I stepped on top of him.
Bundles of crabs, they're hot.
Where did you collect them?
Ballamullos.
And what would you do with them then?
We used to find ones that hot and ones the other same hot, right? We used to put them fighting. And one fella used to win, right? And another fella used to lose.
Crab fights?
Yeah.
And what would you do then when one would win and the other would lose?
We'd throw away the dead one and keep the strong one.
So you'd let them fight until one of them got killed?
Yeah.
And would you do loads of fights like that?
Oh, a load of them. Hundreds.
And did your one ever win?
Yeah.
And do you get anything for it when he wins then?
We used to put them in the jars, put water in it and sell them in the field. As we were at the field.
And who'd buy them from you?
Men that likes crabs and yorks.
And would they buy them to cook, to eat?
I wouldn't eat one. But I'd eat the big ones, not the big ones. The big ones are the nicest, because you want to eat small ones make you vomit. The big ones are the nicest.
And who catches the big ones for you?
No, we just put our head under the water with a pair of goggles and a breeding hook. Because our head under the water lays them under and looks and then grabs them. Then breaks his arms and his legs, then he died. All I had to do was pull his hands back. They broke. And that's all.
And who cooks it for you?
Father or mother.
And does it taste nice?
Oh, lovely. It tastes like chicken. Do you know chicken? It's like chicken. And it is chicken.
Come on, we go up to your mother.
Yeah, 1 second. Come on, Mikey!
Since I was a child, I always remember coming back here with my parents. My parents always came back here. You know, and we always loved it when we came back here, but they never stayed too long around loving. But now everything is getting scarce, you know. And they have all the council have all those lovely places blocked away, loving, blocked off us. So we have nowhere to go.
Well, when we leave here now, we just go on hoping to find a place to pull in and just take a chance and pull in. So we don't say to one another here now, we'll go such a place like what we could do years ago. We could tell one another where we were going years ago. We can't do it now. The whole lot has to stay together. It'll I pull in. We'd pull out to Mam Cross. We'd pull out to Leenon, Westport, Newport and Mulroney. We'd do all them places. We only stayed one night or two nights in it. We could spend a week from here to Belmullet. But it'd be only 3 hours drive from pulling caravans from T&G here now, from Tully. But we could make a week years ago of it, because we had plenty of places to stay long. Now, I lead the group from here to Belmullet. And if I had to see an open place down along from here to Belmullet, I'd pull in for the night. But I didn't. I kept keep going because there was no place opened. They have every place blocked up where travellers used to stay. When we went to Belmullet, we weren't welcome in it. The people were very rude to us and the police. We pulled in the evening of Saturday and one of the son-in-laws went down to the garage for a litre of oil for a generator. And took it out of his hand. He said, "You're not being served here." So while we were there, he wouldn't serve diesel or petrol to nobody in the garage. We tried four pubs and just told to get out, like same as tell dogs get out. And everyone listening and looking. You know, and you have to face out then, out, go out through people then that you have to go into to the counter. And so we left Belmullet and we went about 4 miles outside of Belmullet. And we went in there for a drink. There was a lot of dancing and roaring going on with people there. They were enjoying, you know. And we went in and they wouldn't serve there. 4 miles out in town. So she said, "You better leave." She mentioned about phoning up other pubs around the area. It's no good trying other pubs in the area because you won't get them. We're going to ring them up. Like, this is all supposed to be all stopped now. But I think it's getting worse from places. Here now in Connemara, we're treated very good here now. You can go to any pub. Wait any length of time in them, day or night.
And why do you think it's different here?
It's a way different people. That's... different people.
If someone do something to them, they reckon all the travellers is doing it. But that's what they're wrong now. Because all travellers wouldn't do things like that.
So I mean, there's no, I was brought up now, and I, there's no way I ever done anything wrong in my life to anyone, or I have no intention of doing anything wrong to anyone. And I mean dying the way I was brought up. I mean dying this way. I don't mean do, ever do any harm to anyone. And I'm never willing to help of God.
I mean, I'm sick for going to the shop. Sick for people following me and saying, what have you in that bag? What have you there? What have the child here? Did you pay for that? And the receipt's now in my hand. And I think it's very embarrassing. Because everybody's looking at you. They think you are a thief. Do you know, you feel terrible over it. So, I was in the shop one day. I was in the shop, Christmas, doing my shopping. And I see a lady getting out of a Mercedes car. And you know little two-wheel things, it's a long thing, like a leather thing, there's a zip in the top of it. Well, she was packing that with bottles of whiskey, tins of sweets, and who was the man following? Me. Because you know why? He was following me and he was watching me. He had no right to follow me. He should have followed the mom with the handbag. The mom was stealing all the stuff from him.
And did you not say to the man, why didn't you follow her?
Because I'm sick for saying to him. I'm sick for going into supermarket shops and asking, what are they following me for? Because I said, do you feel like following me? I'm a traveller. So they'd follow me around the place, see what I'm up to, what am I doing. So loads of times have been happening to the traveller people, getting the queues and... In the settled people, there's a couple of thieves too. Because I'd seen to all of them. Really seen to them over now, do you know?
It would make you hate settled people, right? But I do not hate settled people. I do not hate settled people, I mean. Because 'twas from them we lived. Because they fed us. I mean, we went from door to door looking for food after them, and they give it to us when they had it. And they mightn't have a lot.
I made my first communion when I was only 5.5 years old. We went down to Westport, and we just moved in. And it was little kids making their first communion down there. And I remember my mother, God rest her. She called me and said to me, I'm going here to the convent. And the children, I'm going to find out when the Holy Communion is then. I said, yeah. So she went on down anyway, and she went into the convent. She asked her sister, and she said, yes. We have Holy Communion here in the morning. And she said, what age are you, girl? And my mother said, she's 5.5 years old. Right, she said, does she know her prayers? And my mother said, yes, she do, everyone. But she said, bring her down. She know all her prayers, she make her communion in the morning. So I went on down anyway and said all the prayers for the sister. And I made my first communion the next day. And then we left here and we moved to Mella, County Cork. And like that again, now we've just moved in and my mother went down to the convent again and she found out when the confirmation was in. And I went in and made my confirmation there. 2 or 3 days ago to school and made my confirmation there. My father packed up and we moved in again.
It's different when we were growing up. We didn't realise how important education was. But this day and age, you do have to be able to read and write. It's not wanting, you have to be able to read and write. Because when you're going for theory tests, going for driving lessons, driving tests, nearly everything you get now is on paperwork. One time ago, you didn't need it. You could manage without it.
I have every one of my children going to school. And now if one of my kids can read a little for you, they can either read or write. And they went to more school, and I never got to school they went to. I don't know what it is, though. I remember one of the teachers coming to me one day and telling me, he said, I had your little girl at school, he said to me, and she has no interest, he said, in reading and writing. But he said, give her a drawing, he said.
We never got that education, do you understand what I'm saying? As what settled girls did do. Like, in schools... It used to be more about like settle than traveller girls. It used to put traveller girls to helping teachers out of the class to get them out of the way. Settle kids got homework. I never got homework. I'll be honest, I was going to school. What age did I start school? I was only very young, about 4 or 5, was I? And I never once ever got homework. Now I did went to the tech, and I still never got homework. And usually settle kids do like, but I didn't. I don't know. I just didn't like...
Were you in a special class?
I went in, yeah, they took me out to special classes. Like, but yes, I was missing out more in my own class than what, do you mean? When I go back into my own class, then I don't know what they were at, like, do you understand, yeah?
Were there other travelling girls or boys in your class?
No, just settled kids. And I used to feel that shame, like, I used to go up and tell the teacher for any of the
other girls and boys come in, not to ask me to read. Because I didn't know how to read. Do you know what I'm saying? I didn't learn that even up till today now when I'm 18 years and I don't know how to read, like, to be honest with you. I don't.
Traveling boys and girls hate school, they just can't stand it.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Because there'll be shitty loads of place. I spend the rest of my life here, Loving. But the weather's going to get bad and the kids have to go back to school. I have a 14-year-old little boy. They won't take him into the school up here because it's all English. And they will not take my little boy into school up here, over there. He's 14 years of age and he have to go to school. You know. And this is the reason, and one reason I have to go back to put him to school. But I tell the truth, Loving, I'd spend my life, I didn't get, for winters, I mean, I have spent a lot of winters in tents and worse places than this, and I survived all them all to go. But if I knew to go take my little boy here, Loving, if I knew I was going to lift her, I'd even go and get chippings myself, and I'd spread them there just to keep a bit of hard footing underneath us, because we really love Connemara, Loving.
How will you feel tomorrow morning now when it comes?
I feel very, very sad, Loving. Tell you the truth. I'm feeling very sad and I know I won't sleep all night thinking about going home. Because I don't mind going home if I had a lovely home to go back to. I have a house, but I'm not happy in my house, Loving. I don't like where it is. If I had a house in Connemara, I'd enjoy it better. You know, but not where I have it in Galway.
And what will be?
And I think they should scatter the travelling people more, living out in the country. Whoever wants to move out in the country, I think that the council should give them the places in the country. There's an awful lot of travelling community in the city, Loving. And we don't want to be stuffed up on top of other people. We like a bit of quietness to ourselves, Loving. A bit of peace.
Is this a sad time for you?
A sad time that we have to go back in. That's the saddest part about it, that we have to go back in. That we can't stay out here. Live out here.
And how do you feel now, cleaning
up? Well, we're
going
away towards it now, and it'll be the breakings of our heart to put to move in. Into a place that we don't want to go into. Live in heaven and go to hell. What we're thinking and worrying about, what the biggest worry we have, will these places be blocked off? So that means we'll have nowhere to go to. So I'll find a high mountain to go to, wherever I'll find it, just to get away. I don't know what's it all for, like. What's it all for, like? Because, Jesus, you're here today and you're gone tomorrow, like. We're not going to live for 100 years anymore. So what's it all for, like? I mean, I can't see what they're getting for all this. If this is a job they have, it's a job I wouldn't like to have. Blocking off places that travellers had to go to. That's one job I wouldn't go for, I'm going to tell you the truth.
There was 15 caravans here, 14 caravans here 2 weeks ago. And three now left today, that was the last three now gone.
And you're about to pull out the
I'm just going and ready to go.
I better not hold
them. Okay, thank you very much, Bonnie. Thank you. Okay, bye now. Everybody knows there were travellers and still travellers. That was the way of life and they were born up that way and reared up that way. And them all knows one another, even they're living in houses now. You know, they don't look at themselves as settled people. They look at themselves as bogged down. Very tortured, tormented people have been took from the way of life. That's the way all these travellers look to one another now.